I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News Pippa Hurst. Welcome, Pippa.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks very much for inviting me today.
Well, it's a great pleasure, and I'm surprised you've had time because Fremantle Design Week kicked off Friday night with a fabulous opening in the Pears Art Space, and it's going like a fast-moving train. Congratulations. How do you feel?
Thanks very much. Look, I'm feeling really happy. We've had a fantastic response to Design Week, and everyone's been really supportive and really enthusiastic, and we've had great feedback. As you said, the opening was fantastic. We had so many people in the art space. We've got an amazing exhibition in there. So look, I'm feeling great. It's you know, it's a lot of work to get to this point, but it's nice to be able to just enjoy it now.
I think that's the Fremantle Design Week whistle or alarm that we can hear in the background.
Yeah, I don't know
you
what
must
that
have
is.
Arranged it for about 10 each day, haven't you?
That's Fremantle, isn't it? It's full of unexpected sounds.
It is full of unexpected sounds and unexpected things, although a design week in Fremantle shouldn't be thought of as the most unexpected thing. But tell me, this is the first Fremantle Design Week. Where did the idea come from? Because it's yours.
Well, look, we have this incredible design community here in Fremantle. We really have a sort of, for a small city, we have a disproportionate amount of designers. You know, we've always had this reputation as a creative hub, particularly with art and that sort of side of creativity. So we don't really celebrate the design community that we have, and our design community really, you know, kicks a lot of goals. We win awards nationally, internationally. Incredible talents here, so I think it was time to just put a spotlight onto that those people, and just celebrate another layer of creativity that we have in our city, and so
You're
also
sort of we've bringing it out into the open in a sense. Aren't
well,
we?
Yeah, look, people, you know, the designers are all busy working away doing design, and so there's never, you know, it's providing a platform really. We started it's actually Design Week is presented by Design Frio, which is the organisation that we started 2 years ago, and that's a group of local designers who all got together and thought, let's create this platform where we give, it's a place to share the work that the local designers do and to bridge that gap between the professional designers and the community, because designers, you know, often talk a lot amongst themselves, but there's not that much opportunity for them to share what they do with the wider public and really celebrate the value of design and promote the value of design. So we started Design Frio to do that with the vision of having a design week, because we've never had one in Western Australia. They have design weeks in Melbourne, they have Sydney Design Festival. Design weeks operate around the world on different levels. Some countries, you know, Finland has its own design week, so that's a whole country, and we know the culture of design in those Scandinavian countries and those European countries is very strong. So, you know, there's LA Design Week. So why not Fremantle Design Week?
I was going to say Finland probably have a design year. It just rolls on and on.
Yeah.
But when we talk about design, what are we talking about? I'm looking at my old Timberland boots, the design of which I actually love. They're out of style and you can't buy them anymore.
Oh, they look brand new.
Don't they?
Quality.
I just had the bottoms stuck to the tops again. But are we talking about design of anything? Is Design Frio, for example, of a particular group of people? Are we talking about people who design objects or buildings or art? Or what are we talking about exactly? Who are these designers?
It's an excellent question. Design is everywhere. Everything's designed, so there's nothing in our lives that isn't touched by design, and we all make design decisions, you know, without thinking about it every day. So when you get up in the morning and think, what shoes am I going to put on, what shirt am I going to wear, that is actually a design decision.
It's easy for me. The same pair each day.
Yeah, I've got a bit of that going on. But, you know, when you go to the shop to buy something, that's a design decision. What am I going to buy? And so everything around us is designed, and the quality of those objects affects us. But it's not just about objects. It's not about aesthetics. It's about systems. It's about the service design. It's about things that we can't see as much as things that we can see. So we're really talking about every type of design and trying to really demystify it, I think, and draw attention to the fact that all of us are impacted by design, and that we can actually make our lives better by thinking a little bit more about design.
Well, that's the question. What is it that design does for us?
Well, design, good design, does make our life better because it simplifies things. It adds beauty, it adds joy, it adds functionality. It's very important. You know, we all know that things that are well designed, we often don't notice because they do their job so well. Things that are badly designed, we do notice, don't we? We notice when we burn our hand on a badly designed cup, or we, you know, keep kicking something that sticks out, or there's something that just doesn't do the job that it's meant to do. So good design does the job that it's intended to do. It looks beautiful. It is sustainable. You know, there's how it's made and what the life cycle of that thing is. So there's a whole lot of different elements that go into making something good design as opposed to making something bad design. And when we surround ourselves with things that are well designed, it enhances our life, it makes our life better.
I've wondered whether design is just, in a sense, for some people, the high arts, opera, ballet, and some other forms of art are sometimes considered elite, out of reach. Is there some fear that design is just for those of us who can afford it?
I think there is a perception of that, and that's very much a reason that we do what we do, which is to try and promote the fact that design isn't an elite thing, and we all deserve good design more than anything else. For example, what we build in our city really shows what we value. And so when we surround ourselves with things that are good design, it's of value to us. It shows that we respect ourselves, I suppose, in a funny way. But if you think about the most simple thing, like the potato peeler that you have, or anything, you know, design's not an elite thing. It's not something that you can only have if you've got lots of money. Of course, there is that, you know, expensive architecture and expensive chairs and expensive furniture, but just as easily you can go to IKEA and choose something that's well designed. And when you go to buy anything at all, I think you can just look at it and think, is this well designed? Is it going to do the job? Is it attractive? Do I like it? There's a famous saying which you can see on the Design Frio website by William Morris, which says, do not have anything in your house that you do not believe to be truly useful or truly beautiful. And I think that's a great way to start. When you go to buy something, you think, is it, you know, do I really need this? Is it actually going to contribute to my life? And is it actually attractive? Or am I going to look at it every day and go, that awful thing?
I guess mentioning William Morris, who lived in relatively recent times, highlights that design has probably always been with us.
Good design. Well, think about the wheel. Who invented that?
Yes.
That's a bit of design that's had longevity, isn't it?
It's been very functional.
It has. And it's never been made better.
And it's very nice to look at. It's got a certain symmetry to it, Pippa.
It does. And also, when we buy things that are well designed, you know, we might spend a bit more on something that's well designed, but it will last. And, you know, we like to talk about buy once, buy well. Buy something that's well made, that's going to go the distance. We don't like seeing council clean up and seeing piles of stuff on the side of the road that are just not well designed, are they? Because they've broken and they're thrown out.
The whole question of design, its functionality, its purpose, how it can contribute to society, was highlighted at the launch of Fremantle Design Week on Friday night by the amazing hypersext city, the gender justice concept that came from Monash University and the research they did, drawing on all sorts of government, academic and official reports to show you just how people who are often marginalised in our society, or just even on a plain gender, male-female basis, can be discriminated against. The simplest example, at night in our city, Fremantle, do women feel safe walking a particular route home, and or catching the train or a bus to go back where they came from, perhaps? And can you design to avoid the statistical challenge that's presented by what happens in our city? So that's one way of getting into it, but what are the variety of things happening already underway during Fremantle Design Week?
Well, look, that is our major exhibition that we've brought across with in partnership with Monash University's XYX Lab, and it's a perfect example of a type of design that's not something tangible and something that you might not think about. And that is very much about spatial equity. So what does that mean? How do we make the spaces in our city equal for everyone? And it's I love that it's not something you might think of until someone actually draws your attention to it. And things like the way that we light the city. And it's not as simple as just putting a bright light there so people can see you. It's a whole lot of subtle nuances of design. So that is definitely the kind of major thing that we brought here is this show that's on in the PS Art Space. That's on all this week, and we've actually kept that on for another week as well, just to give people the opportunity to see it. It's a lot of work to bring something and set up for just a week. So that's on for 2 weeks. We are actually doing a workshop at 12 o'clock today with those people in that space where people are going to be able to actually make things and contribute to the exhibition and put them up on the wall. So that's going to be good. Over the weekend, obviously that's just passed, we had 10 fantastic conversations in there where we had different designers talking about all kinds of different design, and it was really interesting to see the themes that sort of emerged across that. And we have words like generosity and equity and words that we might not normally think about, I guess, when we think about design just as being objects. Sustainability is a big topic, obviously, on everyone's minds. And the theme for Design Week this year has been enough. So we talked a lot about what's enough, space, what's enough things to have, what's enough money. So we've really had some interesting conversations. Of course, they're all over now, so there's not much point talking about that now. But we've still got some fun things on. We have this international designer here, Pierre Fouché, who's going to be speaking down at the Maritime Museum on Friday. We have a fantastic exhibition here, Remington Matters and Friends, which will reopen again on Friday, which is a local furniture maker and designer who's partnered up with some other designers, and they've got beautiful objects in there. I absolutely encourage people to see that, because buying locally made furniture and objects for your home not only supports local businesses, but it also gives your space a unique localness. You know, it's like, you don't want to go into every house everywhere in the world and it feels like you could be anywhere. You want to walk into a Fremantle house and think, these are objects that are made in Fremantle by Fremantle people. We have this colour experiment, which is a fun thing. It's an interesting thing that Matt DaCosta, who has a company that makes concrete basins out of beautiful coloured concrete basins, has set up this experiment where you can go and sit in a room and be bathed in colour, and you see how the different colours affect the way that you feel.
How so interesting that would be. You invite 10 friends or not so friendly friends around for a dinner party or a soiree, and you bathe them in whatever colour and see what happens.
Well, that's what that is, and that you can take 6 people in there, so certainly get 6 of your friends together and go and sit in there, because it's really fascinating the way that our memories and our previous experiences in life influence the way we feel. Fantastic opportunity to go down to Victoria Quay with Neil Stanbury and get him to take you around and show you all the architecture down there. We've got some really interesting different types of architecture down there. I mean, the Port Authority building is an absolute stunner. That was built in 1964, and when you go on that tour, you can go to the very top of the building. It's the highest point in Fremantle, and you get this incredible view of the whole port,
Fremantle,
the whole city.
Fremantle Shipping News just posted a story on the architectural walks today, and people need to know they need to get in tomorrow, Tuesday or Thursday. There's only 2 left, but it's really worth doing, because you see a very beautiful place in a way you hadn't stopped and thought about, I think.
Mm. Wednesday night we've got UDLA, which is a local landscape company, opening up their studio for a talk, and that will be really interesting. This one here is an exhibition. Now that's on all week in a window. Not sure exactly.
This is 20 metres below.
20 metres below, and that is interesting use of new technology to explore the tunnels under the prison. So that's interesting.
People get fascinated by tunnels. It doesn't matter what they are. They can mean tunnels in a war or tunnels under a prison in this case.
I'm not interested in tunnels. They're very scary.
Well, these ones, I think, took water and provided
it's fascinating.
Services.
It is. It's all about, there's some research and some study being done into what happens under the prison there. And that is really interesting, because it uses this point cloud technology, which is, I always forget whether it's cloud point or point cloud, but it's this incredible technology that measures things by millimetre to millimetre accuracy. space, and so architects and designers are using that a lot now to measure buildings and to design, and so that they've used that to go under the tunnels in Fremantle, under the prison. So that's really interesting. It's actually interactive. The public walk there.
People get quite excited about public art. It's probably the first touch point for most people in the community. They come into Fremantle, and sometimes you can walk into these things and you say, what is that? And then you discover you're in an art gallery.
Well, that is exactly right. And that tour that we had, it's actually sold out, but that doesn't stop you going down there and having a look at FOMO. Around the FOMO building, there is essentially an outdoor art gallery, and there's a whole lot of different art that was commissioned around that space. Now, that's a really interesting merger between art and design, because it's urban design, it's designing the spaces that we occupy and bringing some joy and some fun and sometimes some challenging kind of aspects to that. We've done we've done another interesting little side project, which is a sort of commercial, we kind of call it a commercial activation, but we design lives here, shop, eat, drink, stay. Kate Hewlett, who's got Kate and Abel, curated that for us, and we just went around and found all the sort of design savvy businesses in Fremantle, and we've turned that into a map. Which actually will live on after Design Week, and it will be in the Information Centre. And it shows you some of our fantastic independent retailers who, you know, the great thing about Fremantle is it's not high streets shops. It's not, the streets are not full of shops that are owned by big franchises. These are local independent people selling carefully curated things. So,
which is what makes Fremantle interesting. You find something interesting around the next corner.
Absolutely. So here's a little map to help you find your way around the next corner. And we've also got some of the fantastic hospitality now. You know, if you think of places like Bread in Common, which has won an absolute multitude of awards, it's a beautifully designed restaurant, and the food, of course, is fantastic. And you've got Strange Company, you've got Republic of Fremantle, Darling Darling, which is unique. So we've put all of those on a map so that people can actually, you know, find some of these. If you're not from Fremantle, you might not be familiar with some of these places, and the quality of the design is fantastic.
Well, the website for Fremantle Design Week is up and beautiful, and it's a work of art on its own, Pip, if I may say so. And it invites you in, and there's so much to click on and look at. As Pip has said, some things have gone, but there's still other things to come. Coming back to the whole concept of design, is design about simplicity necessarily?
Well, that's a very interesting point. I mean, in theory, design is about simplicity, because if you design something, there should be just enough design to make it do what it's supposed to do. But some people like design that's busy. So, you know, we don't like to tell people what to do, but certainly simplicity is at the essence of making something that's functional and something that does its job. We have got this wonderful design film festival on this week, which I'd absolutely encourage people to go to. So there's some matinees, there's some in the afternoon and the rest of them on in the evening. We've got six films overall, and they're quite a range of different films. So tonight we've got Bruce Mau, who is a sort of something of a design icon. He's going to be talking, a visionary, I guess he's referred to as. He is going to, that film will just talk about the work that he has been doing over his career, where he was actually employed to design entire brands for countries, and it's all about sort of positive change. That's on at the Luna tonight at 6:30, I believe. We've got a film, we've got Namorali, which is a local film which I'd absolutely love people to go to on Thursday night. The director's doing a Q&A, and that is kind of about this indigenous art up in the Pilbara, and these cave paintings. And it's a story about about culture and about going up and getting a younger generation to go up, because historically people would have to go and paint over them and rework the paintings to keep them alive. And so there's this journey going up to
Kimberley's. I think this is the Wandjina art.
Yes, that's
which
right.
Which is everybody just is struck by Wandjina figures. Amazing.
Mm. Mm.
So you've chosen to cover, it seems to me, as many aspects of design, and no doubt it's not limitless, but it might be near so. How did you go about choosing what to show during Design Week, or did you sort of put out a call for papers and see what happened?
Well, I guess we, for this first Design Week, we've drawn on our existing networks of people that we know. We have a good sense of who's doing what around town. So it's at this stage, we sort of drew on our existing resources. So we want to do this every second year and sort of leapfrog with the Biennale, and sort of, so the Biennale will be next year and then it will be Design Week the year after. So as we grow and as we try and build on what we're doing, we'll be drawing ideas in from elsewhere. Obviously we brought that exhibition over from Melbourne this time. We'll be looking to bring ideas to Fremantle. So it's a mix of promoting what we already have here and then drawing those bigger ideas in from the outside world. So we'll, our curatorial framework will evolve over time, but certainly with this one, we were just trying to bring something for everyone, really, and just show the depth and the breadth of what design actually means, and dispel any myths that, or sort of ideas that people have that it's only about objects, or it's only about high-end architecture, or it's only about, something else. Really show the breadth of what design is.
So whether you look at objects of the purpose or the outcomes, that they tie together. You want to demystify design in its various forms.
Absolutely, and as we spoke of earlier, just realise that design is for everyone. It's not an elite thing, and it's not complicated. Everyone's opinion is valid, but if we give people the language and the framework, I think, to understand a little bit more about how to make assessment of what is a good piece of design, what's a bad piece of design. And it is simple things. Does it do its job? Is it attractive? Is it well made? Is it going to last? Is it going to be thrown away? How is it recyclable? Is it made from sustainable materials? We had a lot of talks on the weekend talking, for instance, about B Corp certification of businesses, where when I go to buy something, I will look for a business that is B Corp certified, which means that they've really rigorously gone through a process and been certified as being sustainable in their practices. So simple things like that, I think, you might not think of that when you think of design, but it's part of making those design decisions. When I go to buy something, am I buying something that's of a quality that's going to last, where the people actually care, where they are ethical in the way that they run their business? So there's those deeper levels to design. And just having the language and I mean, think about that lovely woman, local woman, who's done all that work with balloons. Now, I had no idea that balloons were so bad for the environment, but once you're given the information, it empowers you to be able to make those decisions. I don't buy balloons anymore, and especially not those metallic balloons, which apparently don't ever disintegrate ever. So just sharing knowledge is what we like to do, and help people to make good decisions around design.
And do you imagine that will always be the purpose of Design Week, sharing information so people can make good decisions about design and products and the like? Or are you ever likely to become, in a sense, more militant? We want to see this particular design outcome in Fremantle, or whatever it might be.
I absolutely think it's in all our interests to be aware of what good design is in the built environment and in the space that we live. So, for example, if I'm going to put myself out on a limb here, well, I mean, we've been very involved in talking about the bridge, but there was a big development that's been proposed over in Knutsford, the corner of Knutsford and Stack Street. Terrible design. So, we need to actually, or when they put that stuff up and say open for public comment, we need to get on there and say, this is not acceptable to us. This is not of a quality that we want in our community. This particular development is not good enough. And I think we need to do that. And we need to, if we have the language and we understand why something is bad, because a lot of people will stand up against things. For example, that hotel that they're building over there next to the Waters Cottages, I think that's actually a really good design. It's been contentious, and it always is contentious, and people have their opinions. But I think at least if we have a bit more of an understanding of the language and what makes something good and what makes something bad, then we're in a better position to actually, as a community, try and advocate for better design in our town, which is really important. You know, we have the most beautiful city and we want to maintain the things that are good about it. We know we have to grow, we know we need more density, so how do we do that well? And it's having those conversations in public is really important, and that's a lot of what we like to do, is have those public conversations.
Well, one thing you can also talk about is tattooing yourself. I've seen some beautiful designs.
We had the most fantastic conversation about tattooing yesterday, and I will tell you, unexpectedly, it ended up with people in tears, because Carla, who's one of our was one of the panelists who was talking about the relationship she had between her body image and her tattoos. And she's a bigger woman, and she said until she started tattooing herself, she didn't like to uncover herself in public, but once she tattooed herself, she felt like she wanted to show everyone what she had done. And then another lady in the audience said, was talking about her daughter tattooing, getting tattooed by her other daughter, but the tattoo that she had was a copy of the tattoo that the mother had. And then she started crying, and then all a bit teary. So that was a really powerful moment and an unexpected moment, and a story about design that wouldn't be immediately obvious, but it's designing your body. How do you design your body? And tattooing is a way that we choose to do that. So some very unexpected kind of moments have come out of those conversations.
Well, I've been very fascinated. People have written novels where tattooing has been a significant part of it. And I noticed that Anya Brock was one of the one of the panelists, and Anya paints these very beautiful things. You can imagine some of those being turned into a large tattoo on someone's body.
Well, interestingly, she the other panelists. So we had Anya on the panel with Mark Pinto, who is her tattoo artist, and he does a very particular type of tribal tattoo, which is actually very simple and graphic, and only uses black ink. So that's the type of tattoos that she's got. So it's quite a contradiction to her incredibly colourful and vivid work that she does, that she has a real affinity for these tribal tattoos. And he spoke so beautifully about the art of what he does and how long it had to take him to learn that. And you have to kind of, someone has to teach you, and then you are in kind of linked to that person and connected to that person and indebted to that person for the rest of your life for teaching you this particular tribal tattooing. But he said that he spent 4 years learning how to do it perfectly, and then people said to him, no, this type of tattooing, this particular type of tribal tattooing, is very well known for its imperfection. So he had to untrain himself to make the tattoos look less perfect. So again, that was just fascinating, hearing that story and that design story about how people design their bodies. You know, there's every type of tattoo under the sun. Obviously, people have those big, colourful ones, but that in itself is such a rich design story, the different types of tattoos, the contemporary tattoos, and it was really a fascinating conversation.
In that case, the perfect tattoo is not perfect.
No.
What can you imagine will be happening 2 years hence, when the second highly successful Freo Design Week comes about?
Look, I hope that we can bring a wider range of events and a wider... we will put out an EOI this time and try and broaden the remit, I guess. We'll take a break over the summer, and then we'll get together and think about what the theme will be for the next Design Week and how we will then engage with people to bring that to life. You know, it's such challenging times that we are living in. We all know that the sort of the global warming, pandemics, you know, and all of the things, the problems that have come out of that, and the supply chain issues that we're having, and the costs escalating of everything. The technology is completely changing the world, and all of those things are connected. So what an interesting time we're living in, and a challenging time. So we'll be looking at what those design challenges are, and what are those, how do we address those challenges, how do we navigate the world that we're living in now. So on an everyday level, on an individual level, and then on a global level, and a sort of a community level, and the wider level. So we try to think about all of those different levels of design, and we'll be trying to bring some ideas and some thoughts and some perspectives to Fremantle for everyone. I mean, Fremantle Design Week's located in Fremantle, but it's not about Fremantle. It's about the bigger, it's about design in the biggest sense of the word. The thing that we love about having our festival in Fremantle, of course, is that geographically we can have a walkable festival. We can have our events all over the city and people can come to Fremantle. So we're trying to not just talk about design and get people to come here to think about design, but also just to come and spend time in our city and enjoy it and bring people down here to appreciate what we've got in our town.
Well, it's a city that has been designed and it's had particular big design rushes at particular times when there's been lots of money around, for example, in the gold rush days.
Yeah, and then the America's Cup.
The America's Cup, there's so much to talk about.
There is, and I think, you know, the people in our team, we're very positive about Fremantle. We really want to help the city to build the sustainability of the city, to build the identity of the city, and bring more people here. We've already got a lot of designers here. We've got a lot of businesses coming here. We want more people to come here. We want to really, I think we all hopefully feel that Fremantle is going through a renewal. We've had the Walyala Civic Centre has been built, which has been fantastic. There is a lot of new work going on. Let's all make sure that gives us what we want, that the outcomes are good. And I think it's a great time for Fremantle. We hate all the naysayers and the people who whinge on about Fremantle and say Fremantle's terrible and it's dirty and it's this and it's that. And
it's part of its design brief to be a little bit
well, we
rough
love,
at the edges.
We love that. We love the fact that it's so diverse and it has got an urban grit to it, and then that industrial grit is the character and identity of our city and the limestone. And, you know, there is so much that is unique about this place that we should celebrate. You know, we're not trying to be anywhere else. There are problems in cities around the world. There are empty shops everywhere. There are empty shops in Perth. There are empty shops in Subi. There are empty shops in London. There are empty shops in New York. You know, we are not any different from any other city, but it's you know, we can all come together to try our hardest to make it better and to really make the most of this place. And, you know, we believe in it. We think it's a fantastic city. And I did have a lovely comment from someone yesterday who said, after I'd been to the talk, she said, I went out and I walked around the streets again and I looked at the city and I thought, it is great. It is, you know, and I felt positive, and I was very heartened by that, because that's really why we do what we do. We want everyone, you know, we want to make you all love it. Let's make Fremantle great again.
Well, we're the perfect tattoo design.
Yeah, that's right.
Pippa Hurst, you've filled me with inspiration, and I'm sure many who've already participated in Fremantle Design Week events and those who are going to do it for the rest of the week. So congratulations on doing it, making it happen, and having these dreams for Fremantle.
Well, thank you, and certainly it's not just me. I would hasten to say we have an incredible team of such talented people who have made this happen, and, you know, all of the Design Frio people. And we've had the support of the design community by putting on all of these events. So it's certainly not just me. Absolutely hats off to my amazing team, the Design Frio team. Look, we encourage everyone to go to our website and have a look. I'll just say also our website was designed by the most fantastic local designers, young designers, Joseph Dennis and Gabby Scott. Gabby Fountain. She's one of the Catalinis, you know, Fremantle royalty. The talent here is incredible. Go to the website, have a look, come to the events, certainly come to some of the films. You know, I mean, everyone can come to a film, that's not a big ask. Everyone understands that. So come to the films, come and see the Hypersex exhibition and have a think about that. And we do have the full program available from the PS Art Space there, where you can see what's on for the rest of the week. And also, look, keep an eye out in the shops for our little shop, Eat, Drink, Dine, Stay. There's a little fold-out map that will be around that can, just show you where some of these great places are in Fremantle.
Pippa, it's been lovely talking to you.
Thanks so much for having me, Michael.